I know that this morning I've really thrown everything out of order, but that's okay. I do have some announcements. First of all, I want to, we don't have any little kids that are leaving that I need to announce, but we have some older ones that have birthdays. Amy, happy birthday. Deborah Moore, Autumn Carsey, and Arlene. And the only one here with us today is Amy, and we're going to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
I also want to mention this morning I have some prayer requests. I want to pray for Barry's sister Lindy, that has been very sick with COVID and continues to be so. Holly Dewey. I wonder if we have an update on the mom that's 28, the lady that was going to give birth, that's really ill. I have not heard an update on her at all. Ms. Penry, I know, still needs prayer. Family needs prayer. Also, Barry's niece and her family are pretty sick, too, and they don't know what they have. But she's been taking care of her mom, so it's hard to tell. Any other prayer requests that I really yes, John? Oh, yeah, you told me. Keith Ullman, could you elaborate a little bit? Okay, that's good. Keith Ullman, keep Keith Ullman in prayer. Anybody else? Yes. Oh, wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Yes. Yes.
All Monday, they think that I feel like self on Monday.
Praise the Lord for that, absolutely. It's good to see all your smiling faces today. I would like you guys to pray for this Thursday. I have a meeting in Upper Sandusky in the evening. We're looking at kicking off the timeout program at the school, which is a time that the students are released for a period of time to learn about the Word of God. And I'm going to meet with the guide and some others for dinner that has a regional plan with that. Also, you need to pray for some other things that I'm working on with another group with FCA that I don't elaborate on either. Amy. I agree. Yeah. That's scary when it bobs all over the place. Also, I know that Jude's neighbor was taken to the hospital yesterday ill. Do you guys have any update on her? Do you know anything about it?
I don't know.
All right. Austin did. He was shaking his head. So, anyway, let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this day for the service and all that you've given us, Lord. I just ask that we trust you and we love you. Lord, I pray for everyone that we've mentioned this morning that's either ill. So many of them are battling this virus that's out there. And Lord, I ask for their healing. I ask for their strength. Lord, this morning, I know there's people that are struggling and in need in this church. And Lord, that I ask you to touch their life. Lord, I just ask to be with this community. I know there's children that are struggling. I know there's parents that are struggling. I know that it's a difficult when families sometimes are broken. When there's people in the house that know the Lord and other people refuse to. And the difficulty that can be. And the financial struggles and the sickness. Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here. Lead us and guide us. Thank you that Mandy's sister-in-law had their baby fine. And that are healthy, vibrant, What a blessing that is to our young people. Lord, I do pray for glorious medication, that they would get it balanced out and doing what it needs to. Take that worry away from her. I know that she trusts you. Lord, I also pray for those that have upcoming treatments and things going on. Lord, I lift up Keith Owen to you. You know the need there. You know the need with Mitch. And Lord, I just ask that you guide and direct doctors, decisions, and all things being said. And be with Jeanette, and she's still out. She's at home, but we're thinking of her, and I just ask you to take care of her. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about some things that we don't often think about. And in Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples were concerned that they weren't able to do something that Jesus could do, when it came to the casting out of a demon, in verse 20 we read, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." I want to talk about that a little bit. You ever think about that verse? I mean, if you really think about it, faith is a grain of mustard seed. If you have that much faith, then you can move a mountain. I think I'd be fair and very fair in saying this point, that I don't believe that any of you out there have ever said, "Mountain move and watch it move." Probably not, huh? I was listening to something this morning, and this came up in the message. And it really struck me, and I thought I wanted to share it with you. Because I thought of the importance and the relevance of it with many of us. One is that, first of all, the mustard seed we can understand, can't we? We're talking about something very small, obviously. If you have faith, that mustard seed, that much faith. Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't it take mountains of faith to move a mountain? I mean, if anyone's going to say mountain move, they must really have so much faith, they're just 100% faith. Those faithful person on earth that would take to move a mountain, that's not what Jesus said. I think sometimes, too, we have to look at cultural things in the Bible. And this kind of goes back to the whole debate about translations and about companions to the original text that help us understand it. Now, there's some group of people out there saying, "I'm only going to listen to the King James, and if it doesn't say it in there, I'm not listening to any of it." And that argument, you can have it all day long. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, that I believe, I'm not putting words in the Lord's mouth, but I believe that he understood and he knew that throughout time, throughout the decades, throughout the centuries, cultures would change. And along with changing cultures would take an understanding of what the script and the text said and why they said what they said. Because quite frankly, there's things in Scripture that when we read them, if we take them in black and white, and we take them literally, we think, well, that can't be true. Or it may be something that even tears us down a lot. And think, I must not have any faith at all. I can't do anything. So first I want to look at this. And this is something that, first of all, a mustard seed. A mustard seed is something they used in that culture to talk about something really small. They could relate to that. So that's why we talk about faith the size of a mustard seed. No, so what it basically says, if you have the tiniest faith, even just a little bit of faith, with prayer and fasting, you can move a mountain. So I don't know about you guys, but I've always looked at this verse in a way and said, you know what, I can't move a mountain. So I just kind of avoided the thinking on this verse. In that day and age, somebody that did great things and accomplished unbelievable things, they called them mountain movers. Jesus was relating to the speech of the time. And it's very interesting. Jesus always, and in his parables especially, he would talk in the understanding of the time because he wanted them to understand. So basically he's saying, if you have a little bit of faith at all, and with prayer and fasting, you know what? You can accomplish great things. So my question this morning is, what is your mountain? And not to feel defeated. Maybe my mountain is depression. Maybe my mountain is anxiety. Maybe my mountain is a health issue, a bad habit, language. I mean, there's all kinds of things. I can honestly say one thing this morning. You know what your mountain is. So I don't have to sit and guess whose mountain is what. Y'all know what your mountain is. So, in other words, with a little bit of faith and a whole lot of prayer, you can move mountains. The man I was listening to this morning, it's kind of great because this really fit in with what I was doing this morning. I love when that happens. I was listening very early this morning, but he shared this story. And if some of you may have heard it this morning, that would be great. But I want to share it. It was really kind of neat. There was a man on a radio show, the most popular radio show in Canada several years ago, in Vancouver. He was in Vancouver. And anyway, he was... It was a call-in show, and he was a very pretty vile guy. You talk about, I mean, he made, who was the shock jock we had a few years ago? Howard Stern. He made Howard Stern seem like a choir boy. But he was really bad, and he was a devout atheist, and just would constantly talk about atheism. Well, there's a guy that called in from Richmond that was in very much agreement with him, and he called him his Richmond atheist. He says, oh, we got the Richmond atheist on the phone today, and blah, blah, blah. Well, Billy Graham was going to come to Vancouver. And this guy went on this diatribe of how Billy Graham was a charlatan and took advantage of people and he coerced people and all these things he did on the radio show. And this guy from Richmond was agreeing with everything he said. So the guy that's at Vancouver says, how about you go to the Billy Graham crusade and see this stuff firsthand so you can come back and fill us all. And they were, he was just going to go watch Billy Graham and come back, and they were going to have a great big trash session. Well, Billy Graham comes out, and of course everything was like it appeared, as it should be. Everything was very much scheduled as you need to be when you're doing those things, and the music was the way it should be, and this guy's all geared up to hear this coercion. And he gets around, and he's talking about, he shared the plan of salvation. This guy said, now, there's something interesting going on here at the same time. This guy's wife, that was a devout atheist, that was there at Billy Graham thing, he was there with her and another couple. She was a very dedicated Christian woman and had been praying for this man continually. Billy Graham said something. He said, when he had his altar call, he said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed in your hand, I want you to come down. And then he said something that really kind of struck me. Many times when we think of our belief and our faith, we have all these things we add into it. What I believe, but I have this doubt here. And I have this doubt there. And this doesn't really make sense. And I really question this, and I really question that. Wait a minute. Jesus said, if you have a faith that's the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Are we really expected, as people living in this world, with that old nature, not to have doubts, not to have questions, not to have things come up? Of course we're expected to do that. But we have that faith, just that faith, that, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord through it. I'm going to trust the Lord through it. So anyway, this guy, he gets up, and his wife says, what? He gets up, and he goes down front. And they get home that night, and the guy's on the radio in Vancouver. And his wife says, don't you think you need to call him? He goes, oh, I'll call him tomorrow. She goes, oh, no, you don't. She said, tomorrow's Saturday, you know he's not on. So call him. The guy took the phone. Zay, it's our Richmond atheist on the line. Well, how did it go? Proceeded to tell him I saw a mirror. If I had the faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, which I held in my hand. And he said he clenched his fist all the way down there the whole time that he was being witnessed to, the whole time he was being counseled. And on the way home, his wife was driving because he wouldn't unclench. And he said, Jesus Christ. Because I have the faith in the grain of a mustard. Folks, don't wait on have all the questions answered. You'll never have all the questions. You'll never have all the right decisions. You'll never have everything laid out perfectly. Okay, now I'm ready. A lot of people have gone into eternity waiting on being ready. It's that faith as the grain of a mustard seed. This morning, I got a little bit interrupted this morning. It's okay, because I interrupt everyone. And in that interruption, I didn't mark my Bible, and I didn't drop my bullet point, so I'm getting there. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have been justified by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and Him following what His Father said. We've been justified by faith, and we have that faith in Him, and we have that justification. He justified us. In other words, we're not guilty anymore, folks. You accept Jesus Christ, throw the guilt away, flush it away, it's gone. Quit going back and looking at it. It's hard sometimes, because we have things in our life saying, oh, how could God have ever loved me? I read something yesterday that Spurgeon said. He said, as long as I live, I will never understand how in the world Jesus could have loved a scoundrel like me. I would concur. I agree. Not with him, with me. How could he love a scoundrel like me? Because he does. He not only loves me, he chose me. Why? Isn't that something? We're always trying to make ourselves good enough. We can't be good enough. He's good enough. He's the one that justifies. He's the one that cleanses. He's the one that gives us new life. What we mess up is we don't walk in it. We forget to walk in it. We forget that we're in the new life. So, anyway, we're in Romans 5. Having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ. You see, that's where peace comes from. Stop looking for peace inside your own mind. You're not going to. Do you realize that? Our minds are very deceitfully wicked. They really are. Sometimes it's like your mind has a mind of its own. You're trying to pray and a bad thought keeps coming to your mind. and you really want to pray and you really want a pure mind, but it keeps popping in, that's difficult, isn't it? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into His grace in which we stand. We stand in His grace. We have access. If we didn't stand in His grace, we would have no access to Him. Because we have to stand in that place where His blood covered our sin. So we have access to God. God can't even look on the filth of sin. But we stand in that grace and we're covered to where we have that access. That's why I don't understand these people that will say, oh, I'm going to pray about that. They don't even believe in Jesus Christ. Who are they praying to or what are they praying to? Because they're not getting to God. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. We just did this study a few weeks ago. Tribulation produces perseverance. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of tribulation where we live in the tribulation and we accept it as part of our life and say, oh, woe is me. I'm in my comfort zone. Things are tough. This is wrong. This won't work. That's not the tribulation I mean. I'm talking about when something is a difficulty that comes up in your life, and you trust God, and you stand in that grace, and you give Him that, and you pray, and you stand in His faith, and then it produces that strength. It produces that perseverance. Because you know you trusted God through it, and God brought you through it. It's not always the way you planned on Him bringing you through it, but He brought you through it, and He does. He's faithful. And it says, and not only that, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Isn't it wonderful to be around a Christian that you know has character? And why do you know that they have character? Because it shows in their life. You can see it. You know that when you talk to them, they're going to come back to the right thing most of the time, if not all. When you talk to them, and they're going to be able to talk with you, to counsel with you, and say, you know, let's look at this stuff. Maybe we shouldn't be doing it. Maybe we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. I love being around people that trust the Lord. And you know one of the main reasons? Because when my trust fails, they can plant that boot right in the seat of my pants and tell me, Steve, where your trust is waiting. And sometimes we need perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope is to look forward to something, to look forward. How can we look forward with any form of confidence if we don't have character? If we don't trust? See, we forget that we're standing in grace. And many times what's really sad with people is they'll do something wrong. They'll fall down. Christians fall down. Christians make a boo-boo. Christians blow their top sometimes, don't they, Steve? And it's not good. It's not good. It never produces the right thing. But you know what? You got to remember, I'm standing in grace. God understands. The sin's forgiven. But it sure doesn't hurt to tell Him, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have. And then you learn and you grow through. I often say many times, and it's very hard for a pastor to close court. It really can spread like wildfire, especially in a community. There have been ministries lost over a pastor blowing his court. So it's kind of nice. I only have to blow mine about once every year, and then it covers me for quite a while. And I'm able to have a lot more perseverance and character for a while. And then the character hangs on. And so that's kind of good, right? You guys know that was talking to you. Kind of. Anyway. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Isn't that great? Why doesn't hope disappoint? Because it doesn't. Because of the hope that he gave us. See, it's a process. Everything's a step process. We stay in grace. We're still going to have tribulation. Oh, Pastor, I'm living the way I should, but everything's still going wrong. Look, it's going. Trust God and watch yourself grow. Watch yourself grow. And as you get stronger, and you persevere, and you go through more, and you learn to go through more, and you see that God brought me through this, He brought me through this, He brought me through this, and I need to just keep trusting, and you finally get to the point where when something's wrong and you go to get negative about it, you start to think to yourself, dummy, why are you doing this? You know that God already brings you through, and it saves you a whole lot of grief. Because you begin to trust Him. And I'll tell you something important to remember. We need to understand that we have to stay in the Word. We have to trust the Word of God. We have to stay in the Word. Right? We do these things with prayer and fasting. Right? Remember the mustard seed? With prayer and fasting. Take it. Let me replace that word just a little bit of fasting with a word that I can kind of wrap my mind. It's prayer and pulling yourself away. Whether it's pulling yourself away from something that you do every day, something you eat, whatever it is, that's the whole purpose of fasting. You're pulling yourself away from stuff. And you realize why you're doing it. And now instead of every time I have that desire to do that, that's why people use food fast sometimes, every time I desire to eat something, it reminds me in my mind, wait a minute, you're in a time of prayer, and it keeps your mind where your mind's supposed to be, because every time that bothers you, this is your answer. And you know why you're doing it. That's the purpose. Pray by the fact. Is focus. To focus on God. So you take time in prayer and focus. And that's how we're going to grow. I'm in Philippians. Chapter 4. And I think this is the answer to a lot of the problems we all run into when it comes to, okay, I left church today. The message was, I needed to hear that message. I need to apply that message to my life. I'm going to start walking. I want to walk where the Lord wants me. I want to live in that grace. I want to understand the trials I go through are for a purpose. I want to understand if I trust the Lord and have faith and persevere through those, that I'm going to get stronger each and every day, and it's going to produce character, and that character is going to produce hope, and the Holy Spirit is going to sustain me in that hope because He's evident in my life, and that whole process is going to happen. But you know what? There's something along the way that makes us stumble. And this is the last passage I'm going to use on this today. It's in Philippians chapter 4. In verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the God I want to spend most of my time with. It's all one God. That God of peace. I want peace in life. But what makes me stumble sometimes? Huh? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Stick to what is true. You guys know any falsehoods right now? Let me ask you this. Are you taking part in something that you know you have to justify with a lie to keep on doing it? Think about it. We are taking part in something that the only way we can justify the time, The only way we can justify the outcome and the virtue of it is because we have to just kind of ignore a little bit of Scripture and just kind of twist things a little bit, because you know what? I'm not quite sure this is exactly what the Lord wants, but I can turn it just a little and it'll fit. Whatsoever things are true. That's not true. It's not true. So I have to ask you the question, are you kind of using a lie to justify some place in which you're in? Are you following maybe what the world says that you know to be a lie? We know that Satan's the father of lies. Are we following some of the father of lies? Okay, so there's one. So we have a choice to make. Are we following a lie? Okay, you got to answer. Then we're going to go on and we're going to say, what sort of things are noble? What sort of things are right? The noble thing to do. Whatsoever things that stand out as being right. Folks, are we taking the high road? Or do we slip down into the complainer's group? Isn't it easier? I'm going to complain. I'm going to complain. I complain. It satisfies that woe is me spirit. Do we all struggle from that sometimes? Of course we do. I do. Ask any of my friends. They'll tell you. They're going to slap me upside down. Yeah, just see you're complaining. Folks, we need to be taking the high road. Don't let Satan drag you down to his level. Don't let the world drag you down to their level. It's not good. Please remind me when I'm doing it, when you see me out and about, because I'm human like you. Sometimes we hit that low road. Now, there's nothing wrong with pointing out something wrong or in a conversation or whatever, but I think you know what I mean. It's living that low road. It's always going there. It's always wanting to complain about what someone else is doing without me looking in the mirror. I honestly believe that if we looked in the mirror before every statement we made, it would change a lot of our statements. Think about that, would it? Huh? Would me? Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are right. Stand on what is right. You know what's right. Don't believe somebody's lie when you know that someone else is telling the truth. Because maybe they're a better friend. You know the truth. Don't fall into that pit, into that habit. Stand on truth. I know all of you out there, a lot of you out there, really well. Some not some. But I know there's quite a few of you that have gotten in a little bit of hot water before because they stood for what was just. But I want to tell you something today, whether the world likes the outcome of what you did or not, or whether they like you today, or whether they badmouth you, or they've hurt you, you have a God in heaven that says, right on. You stood for what was just. You stood for truth. And you will have a reward for that someday. Not only that, I love this. Many times when I see myself in a situation that there's just no way out of. If I open my mouth, I'm in trouble. If I close my mouth, I'm in trouble. You want to maybe defend yourself or whatever that case is. But we get into these situations where we got to say, Lord, I'm kind of got my hands tied here. I can't do anything about this. I mean, this is, I'm stuck. Will you come to my defense? I'm giving this situation to you because you're way above my pay grade. And please take it because I just don't see a good way out of this. And he says, thank you, Steve. I've been waiting on you to hand it to me all along. And then you sit back. And time goes on. And you see the truth rise to the surface. And you see the lies get exposed. And you see God working, and you see good outcomes, and you just sit back in awe of it. You don't come out and say, I told you, just leave that alone. But you let God do his job. And then you sit back and you marvel. You say, wow, Lord, why don't I give everything to you this easily? Because, man, you sure took care of that one. And you made it better than any outcome I ever could have come out with. You even healed wounds. The only thing could ever be healed. It's giving it to him. It's doing what's just. It's doing what's right. And sometimes the just thing to do is to just give it to him. Right? Amen, Ray. You're right. Remember that. Put it on your refrigerator. Sometimes the just thing to do is to just give it. Whatsoever things are pure. Are you deciding to do anything in your life that has dirt in it? Now ask that question. We all have to. What's the motive behind things that we do? What, is there maybe, you know what, a lot of this is pretty good. I know there's some really nasty stuff over here. Maybe I should be with this person. I should be doing this. Maybe I shouldn't have a partnership with this person or be bound to them too much. But, ooh, I don't know. Or maybe I, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't. Whatsoever things are pure. Why does he say that? Because our God is pure and holy, and he wants you to constantly work towards him, towards being pure and holy. And the greatest place for us to find peace is purity. And he wants us to think about this. You know, if we've got to rationalize things we're doing to make them look clean, look, they ain't clean. Right? If we got to rationalize something to make it look white, it's not white. Right? You ever see really filthy, nasty water? You know, years ago, when I was in the contracting business years ago, I used to build and rebuild public pools, and rep pools. It was just, Matt can tell you, he was a kid that grew up with me doing it. And in the heart of the job that I'd take it on, because I just wanted that. But I remember sometimes going to those things, and I'd look at it, and someone would say, I got a pool here that I need redone. And I'd go to their home, and I'd look down on the ground, and I'd see stuff that was as thick as molasses. And nasty. It had been decaying for 2 or 3 years with trees falling in it and dead frogs. Anyway, so I dumped a bunch of chlorine in. I mean a bunch of chlorine in. I couldn't even pump it. It was too thick to pump. And I come back a couple days later and I'd see clear water. Clear water. I mean, still had leaves that was white now. It was clear. But I'm going to tell you something. I still wasn't drinking it. And sometimes we try to make dirty things that we do look clean, but folks, I ain't buying it and I ain't drinking it, and neither is he. Don't try to whitewash things you know you should be doing. Steve. I've always got into those things, including myself, because boy, these lessons speak to me sometimes. Shouldn't they though, really? Whatsoever things are lovely. Doesn't sound very manly, does it, guys? Whatsoever things are lovely. What is it that you're doing in your life or you're getting into? What does it produce? Is it producing love? Is it producing a loving spirit? I was in 2 Corinthians 14:13 on the radio the other day. It said, do all things with charity. Or your version might read, do all things with love. The Bible uses that word interchangeably. That's how we have charity. You can't have true charity without love. Whatsoever things are lovely, is what you're doing produces love. Let me ask you another question. Is the stance you're taking on something producing love? I'm talking about godly love. I'm not talking about that mamby-pamby feeling stuff. You know, that stuff flows in and out like a creek that drops. I'm talking about real love that comes through God, that has a quality to it. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things your life are producing. But guys, I've got to ask you a question. We like to have our way, don't we? Sometimes we've got to sneak to have our way because that's the only way we can get our way. But is what we're doing and the time that we're spending and the things that we're going and the things that we're doing producing love when we come back? Good, solid marital. That God endorsed by it. And Jesus endorsed it. His first miracle at Cana in Galilee. That marriage, that bond. Are we doing things that are lovely, that produce love? Ladies, when we have an attitude towards our husband, we're talking, we're thinking about him, or how we're going to treat him when he walks in the door, is it lovely? Is it producing love? Or is it producing animosity? Or my way or the highway? Guys, this goes back and forth. I'm not picking on men always, because this is not an either or, it's a both. We have to think about it. In our relationships with family, ooh, that sister of mine drives me nuts. And I'm going to keep twisting. Or do we take that soft word, that soft word? Do we pray for them? Do we have that faith as a grain of his mustard seed that God will use their life and bring them to spiritual healing? And do we look that way and produce what's lovely? You see where I'm at? What sort of things are lovely? Then it says, whatsoever things are of good report. Folks, I gotta tell you out there, please, 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 guard your testimony. Guard your character. Because somebody's watching. I know of those kids that I grew up with, some of them, they're gonna say, yeah, I knew that Whitaker kid. He said he was a Christian, and that's the reason I never wanted nothing to do with him. Because if he was a Christian, they weren't much. Some of them are gone now. I can't go back and even make it right. Folks, we have got to protect our character. We have to. And why? So that people look at us and think we're great? No. People are not going to think I'm great no matter what I do. I accepted that a long time ago. My intention is not to be great. My intention is not to be popular. My intention is not to have people have some special love for me. But, oh, isn't he great? My intention is for people to look at me and see what God has done through me and thus giving the glory back. I would much rather them saying, boy, Steve's great, and look what he does this, and look what he does that. I would much rather them say, man, isn't it amazing that God took a scoundrel like that and what he did? What he did? You see the difference? Huh? Protect your character. Protect your Christian life and who you are. Don't let people accuse you of things with their own wandering mind. Because they can take a little bit and make it a lot. Right? I got to think of that sometimes. Sometimes I have to think of that and where I'm at and what I'm doing. And what do people think when we see me? That what are they really going to think? What's he doing there? Sometimes I go into places and I have to tell the Lord, Lord, you know I'm here. You know what I'm doing. There's going to be other people that might see me here that might think something differently. Lord, please guard that today. And sometimes I have to go into that situation that way because I go to some pretty shady places, folks. I mean, people might actually think I'm buying drugs sometimes. I really do. It's important that we guard that character. And it's also important that when we go into those things, when we do those things, we let people know it. We don't try to sneak. Because what we do out in the open is what God permits. and blesses. If we're sneaking to do something, it's probably not something we should be doing. You see what I mean? Okay. Anything that is good report, if there are anything that has virtue, something virtuous, something's going to help us grow and get better. I don't understand people who say, oh, I just wish that I felt better about myself. I wish that I had a better, I felt more confident. You know what? If you do these things ahead of it, it's going to bring virtue in your life. And you're going to feel and know that virtue in your life, and you're not going to worry about your self-image so much. More people fail because of their own self-image than anything else. But they're doing nothing to produce the virtue that they need to not have that feeling. Folks, we need to have a virtuous life where we're growing every day, where we're becoming a new person each and every day, and we grow. None of us are perfect. We're all going to mess up. You'll see somebody become a Christian and grow and reach and balance and say, wow, that was real. No. We're different. Some of you are going to take baby steps. We just go forward. Some of you are going to get knocked back. You're going to come forward. Let God work in your life. Let God work in your life, and He will do it at His pace. If there is anything praiseworthy, something, when I say, is there anything that you guys have to say this morning that's something you can have a praise about, you should all be jumping up. You ain't going to believe what happened this week. I had no gas money, and guess what? It was there. Huh? I thought I was getting sick. I was exposed to 5 people with COVID. You take one mouth to mouth resuscitation, and guess what? I never got it. Praiseworthy. I know you guys out there. I know things you should be praised, Lord, about every day. Let's do it. Let's talk about what's praiseworthy. And then it says, meditate on these. All of those things that we just talked about, you're supposed to think about them. When the week starts getting rough, you look back at the virtuous things. You look back at the holy things. You look back at the clean things. You look back at the truthful things. And all of the things God brought into your life that week that were positive, and you look back and go, Satan, you're an idiot. Get away from me. Look at this booty I got over here. This all came from God. You want to throw me scraps. But God's got that. And every one of us can have. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. God of peace will be with each and every one of you and me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and all you give us, the many blessings. Lord, that we may stand and grow in you each and every day. And we can feel and know victory in our lives through you. But Lord, we have to be willing to let go of some things. And we got to be willing to hang on to some things. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know the difference. Guide us and direct us this day. In your name, amen. This morning, if you have, maybe you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you'd like to come up this morning and accept it. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. I welcome you. I would love to pray with you. We're going to pray for our offering. I'm going to ask Ted, Stephen, pass off the plate. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for our tithes and offerings that you give us so much. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to give back. You know, Lord, something I really like. Lord, I like that so many people do things here at the church that they don't even have to be counted. Things just get done. Things just get heard. What a blessing that is. You know, it's those little blessings that only you know about. They're wonderful. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the trust that they put in me, but Lord, I really know that's a heavy load. And I trust you with that.
Amen. We will stand with us this morning. We're going to close on the screen with unseen.